Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love that you pour out, the love that you always offer, the love that we sometimes dare not receive. But God, it's still there. Let us put aside all the cares and concerns of our hearts, minds, and souls other than you, Lord, that you may transform us, that you may hold us, and let us be known as children of God. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the biggest things that leadership studies have today is how do we change the culture of a place? How do we take a business that's going south and turn it around? How do we help someone go from here to there more efficiently? William Bridges is one such leadership person, and he said one of the biggest problems is that change is always occurring, but we don't make the transition. We may know that social media is a thing or the internet is a thing, but we have everything via phone, in paper, on billboards, and never address that market. And so as the change keeps happening and we stay over here and not make that transition, we don't arrive where we need to be for our markets. William Bridges came up with this book, Managing Transitions, and in it, he said the single greatest story for a people to understand this transition is the Exodus. He says the people of the Exodus left as complaining slaves, and they arise in the Promised Land as children of God, ready to receive a land flowing with milk and honey, ready to live in to the promises God has. Now the journey is only about 3 weeks if you walk it, yet it takes them 40 years. Why? Well, you see, the people of Israel had 400 years of a story that they weren't as good. 400 years since Joseph brought them in and saved the land that the people of Israel began to go downhill, that the Egyptians were a little better. In fact, along that route, they even became a wholly different person, not even fully human. They were slaves, property of the Egyptians. And this story that they told their children and their children's children was one where they were not good enough, was one that they have to listen to someone else, was one in which they even worshipped pagan gods. But God. But God intervenes and he takes this people out of the land of Pharaoh and into a desert where they are forced to lean on him, to rely on him, on the daily bread that falls from heaven, on the water that flows forth from the rocks. And they begin to tell a new story. A new story of God's provision, of God's abundance, of God's love and promises. They get a covenant with this God through Moses. Moses goes up and receives a covenant. Now, often we think of the law as those things that we don't do, but that is really a story of how God and those people would walk together for the rest of eternity. And they receive this law and they begin to understand a new way of doing things, to participate in the holy creativity of God. And so they begin to make that transition. They begin to become a new people. They begin to see ways in which they can live into this joy and this abundance. And I think if we're honest, that's something that still today, each one of us question from time to time. We wonder whether or not our past, all the ways in which we've been enslaved to different things we've done, our past, the ways in which we tried to be better than everyone around us and didn't hang out with them, our past, the ways in which we were in a different location and we moved to a new one, if it would catch up to us and everyone would realize we're actually a fraud, that we don't belong here and now as children of God. But the good news is that there's a story. There's a story that helps us see that it is true, that Jesus did come and die for our sins, that no matter what we've done, we can still walk with him in a new way. You see, this passage from Deuteronomy is Moses telling this second telling of the law, all that had happened to them. And if you turn back a couple of pages, Before this song, this final song, he says on Mount Nebo before he goes and dies, he says, before you are these words, choose wisely life or death. Be strong and courageous. And then he sings this song, and as Kathy shared, it says there, I have declared solemnly to you this day that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of this law. They are not just idle words for you, they are life. Because if you want to continue to choose to live in this life of abundance, this land flowing of milk and honey, to be a part of God's chosen people, you will pay attention to these stories. You will try to get them not just to be in your head, but to know them. And these stories were told year after year, again and again through the generations. We see in Joshua starting off quoting him and saying, being strong and courageous. And we see the ways in which they tell these stories as they go, but they stop. And we get to Judges, and you see it saying, they've done evil in the eyes. They forgot the Lord. They put up their Asherah poles and other things because they started to believe the stories around them were greater than the one they received. But these stories remain true. And again, God's people rose up to meet the challenge, to live a covenantly faithful life to their God, and to be a blessing to all the people around them. They belonged in God's good graces. These are the stories that form Jesus. These stories of the words of life for him to come and say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. These stories are the stories that form Jesus so that he could go forth and offer that sacrifice to take our sins on a cross so that you and I can belong in a new way. Those stories are the stories that the Apostle John believed summed up who Jesus was as the Word of Life. And in 1 John he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked and at our hands have touched. In other words, the stories we have experienced. This we proclaim concerning the Word of Life, Jesus. The life appeared, and we have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Friends, it is true. It is good news to share that no matter what you've done, you can have access to God as a beloved child. And it didn't just stop here. We have since added 2,000 years of stories of the church to it. Here at Central, we have added story upon story to this. And this morning, I would love to invite Bob Hall to share a little bit of his story so you can see how these words of life are something that continue to give life in this world.
Good morning. Oh, but it's really more than a good morning, isn't it? It's a wonderful morning, a great morning, because we're here in God's house praising and worshiping him. If you feel blessed to be here today, say amen. 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 Although I was raised in the church and consider myself a firm believer in God, there was a period in my life when you would not have found me anywhere near this place, or any church for that matter. When I finally realized the value of practicing my faith and returned to attending church, I was shocked and amazed that I could have put God on the shelf for so long. I began to realize that God's love for me continued even during the time when I ignored him. He blessed me with a wonderful Christian wife and gave us children who played a big role in reigniting my faith. Without the firm foundation of faith that my parents had given me in my youth, it would have been more difficult for God to pull me back to where he wanted me to be, to where I needed to be. And once I became surrounded by wonderful Christian friends, like I'm looking at here today, and pastors here at Central, I became transformed. Working on me through my experiences on the walk to Emmaus, Promise Keepers, mission trips, Bible studies, Sunday school classes, prayer groups, and numerous sermons and hymns, the Holy Spirit changed me. And he's still changing me. I praise God for the faith that I live and that is growing every day. I need it now more than ever. Over the years, I've learned to listen to God. Sometimes he's not easy to hear, but other times he repeats himself until he can't be ignored. Pastor Stephen Furtick once said that God whispers because he is close. Several years ago, I was meeting occasionally with a friend who was going through a rough time in his life. Every time I tried to inject faith into our conversations, he would change the subject. One day, on my way to meet with him, I asked God to help me get an opening into my friend spiritually. Immediately, God told me not to worry about it. He said he'd been working on him a lot longer than I had. What a relief that was for me. All the pressure was off. Or was it? When I got to the place where I was meeting him, the first words out of his mouth were, "Bob, I want you to tell me how you brought Christ into your life." I still get choked up when I think about that. Believe me, all things are possible with God. As some of you know, I was recently diagnosed with kidney cancer, and I will soon be undergoing surgery. I can honestly tell you that I'm not very apprehensive about it, because I know that the Lord is with me, regardless of what the future holds. At the end of the three-day Emmaus walk, each attendee, or pilgrim as they are called, is given a cross with the words, "Christ is counting on you," written on it. And their response when receiving the cross is, "I am counting on Christ." Well, now, probably more than any time in my life, I'm counting on Christ. I remember a scripture passage from one of Robert Hunt's sermons, Psalm 55:22. "Cast your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you." It's that simple. Trusting in my Savior is an insurance policy I can count on. And with that said, I'm also a believer in prayer, so anything you want to send up for me will be greatly appreciated. Thank you. Amen.
The psalmist says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Hope that was a renewing word, a word of life. As you begin to hear the stories of those around you, I love that we have a family album out there that's been put together over the years. And if you have not had the chance, you can add some of your story. Even if it's just a snapshot where you are now, I want you to realize the way in which you walk into this community. You are a balm to those around you. To see your presence of you walking tall in the ways of the Lord. But I also want you to see that there are powers in this beyond just the sharing of the story, that the power of God shows up in those transformative ways, as it says here in healing, as it says in other ways of reconciliation to God, those deeply profound ways that one would dare say might even be supernatural, that God shows up. But again, it's through the hearing of the stories that we begin to soften the soil for those seeds to sprout. And I would love to invite Pastor Jen to share a word about one such story in her life.
This is not typically a story I get up and share from the front. I'll share it with people when they're interested or when they ask or when I feel it's something they can hear. It became important to me when I learned today that we were going to be doing prayers of healing and anointing later in the service to share this with you, because there's many different types of healing in God's presence in our lives. I was born with a birth defect called spina bifida, and in sixth grade started having major complications with my foot. I had surgeries, casting, lots of infections, sores, lots of doctor's appointments, things I had to miss out on. It was hard to go shoe shopping, which is hard when you're in middle school and high school. And from the time I was in middle school, even up until college, people would still say things to me, different comments that were hurtful. But God got me through those. So I would spend time in my naive faith, sometimes praying for healing, thinking about why me. Sometimes it wouldn't bother me and I would just keep going because I'd look at kids younger than me with the same thing and feel like it was an opportunity to be able to set an example for them. But in seminary, I was invited to be a part of a healing prayer study. We became a group that offered healing services to the community and to the church. And it was then I realized that I was in a good place. I was okay. I was in a managing place. Because I started asking not for physical healing, but for spiritual healing. To be okay that I had a brace that I would wear the rest of my life. That I'd be okay every so often having to go see the podiatrist. And then we graduated and we moved to Indiana. And I met a new podiatrist. So I'd had that spiritual healing and those prayers by that point. And he said, "You're too young for this." And I said, "Oh, I've heard that before. I know. That's just who I am." And he said, "No, I know a surgeon who can do something for you." I said, "Oh no, I've had too many surgeries. They keep making things worse. I'm good. Like, I'm happy with where I am." So he reminded me for a year, and I prayed for a year about it, and I kept avoiding going to see that surgeon, and then I did. And it would be a long recovery. It would take a lot away. It would involve a lot of people coming to take care of me. And it wasn't a guarantee that things would be okay. But I had the surgery. And today I don't wear a brace. I still have a sock I wear to help with swelling. I'm not going to go run a marathon. But there was that physical healing that came. Unfortunately, that physical healing is not something that's going to happen for everyone or in the way in which you want it to. But God can heal us in so many ways. And so I hope today that you'll be open to all of those ways. Amen.
Amen. The power of God shows up in new and different ways. The Apostle Paul says, "When I come to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaim to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not wise with persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." Friends, it may not happen in ways that we want, but as pastors and share, God's healing comes. And with it, that peace of knowing. It still happens today that people are miraculously healed in ways that defy understanding. It still happens today that disease wins the day, that brokenness wins and we die. It's not saying that God's going to show up in a way we want. If you read the scriptures, Jesus did not heal every person that came to him. But when God comes, and that Spirit descends, let's just be open to how God moves. John Wesley, who has documented several healings during his ministry of a miraculous nature, also wrote a textbook for physicians. He believed that you go to where God is calling, whether it's the miraculous and the divine, or whether it's through the best doctors and the healing presence of the nurses and the therapy and the years of walking through a journey. But he said, let us all go to the medicine of medicines, and that is prayer. Let us pray now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words of life, the stories that you offer, the love you pour out. God, let us be open to the way you move today as we come before you in a moment for prayers of healing, of anointing, of just being reminded that we are children of God and that you still move in this world today. We thank you for our brothers and sisters who walk around us and live out their story faithfully. And so, Lord, let us find ways of walking with you, and we may hear your words as we live our life. Amen.